Well, hey, Hamilton Mill, we are in week 3 of A Beginner's Guide to Winning at Life. And I'm really excited because this series has been so much fun to do with y'all. And we hope it's been helpful and really encouraging and kind of give you a little bit of joy to know that you can know that you're winning at life, not just feeling like you're winning at life. So to catch you up, week 1, we talked about what step 1 was. And step 1 was build a solid foundation. Build a solid foundation. Build your life on Jesus, who is eternal, not the things of this world that will cause you to crumble when things get shaky. You won't get shaken when you build it on a solid foundation. And then last week, we talked about beginning a spiritual discipline. Once we've built our life on Jesus, then we begin a spiritual discipline to center our life around the things of Jesus. Because a spiritual discipline is like a keystone habit. It's this habit that affects every other habit in your life. It's a habit that allows you to really get ahead in every other area, because a specific discipline is only to one area of your life, right? But a spiritual discipline, it affects everything. So for today, though, before we get into the content, I want us to be able to look at something that is kind of a secret. It's kind of where we came up with this series. And the secret of this is based on Jesus' life, about Jesus' specific statement he said about himself. See, this is what Jesus said. This is the secret to winning at life. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So Jesus says the full life is a rich life. It's a satisfying life. It's an abundant life. That's how you know you're winning at life, is when you have that full life that Jesus promises us. So for today, though, what I actually want to focus on is his initial statement that leads to the full life. Because I believe today, this thief that he talks about actually is one of the most important things that we've got to discuss. See, a lot of times when we look at this verse, we think of the devil, right? The thief is the devil. He's prowling around like a roaring lion looking to steal, kill, and destroy us. And he is. But this specific verse is actually talking about a different kind of thief. A thief that are called the Pharisees, that are religious leaders back then during biblical times, that were like ones that were created a law or a fence around God's law, this fence that kept people from getting to God's law. But no one was able ever to have the full life that Jesus talked about, because this fence was too hard to even live up to. And that was stealing people's peace. That was stealing people's lives. And so for us today, I want to talk about a different kind of thief, though. I want to talk about a thief that's not the Pharisees, that's not even the devil. This thief is so much closer than that thief. See, this thief, I believe that thief is actually in this room. You know what that thief is? I believe that thief is us. It's you. It's me. See, this thief is right here. It's in our mind. It's this thief that these thoughts of what we tell ourselves. Would you agree with this statement? We are our own worst enemy. We are our own worst critic, right? We have so many negative thoughts that cause us to not be positive about ourselves. And it starts every single morning. And it ends when we go to bed, and then it starts over again the next day. For example, when you wake up and you hear this sound. Okay, whoa, we just got some reaction in the room. When you hear that sound, what's your natural response? Are you like, oh, yes, today's going to be amazing. Everything is awesome. I'm going to live the full life Jesus promised me, and I'm going to help others live that full life too. Or when you hear the sound, it's jarring, isn't it? Are you like, ugh, where's the coffee? What is this tiny human pulling on me? Today's going to be miserable. Oh my gosh, I've got too much to do. There's not enough time. I've got to go to my stupid job and work with stupid people. Ugh. Okay, I'm exaggerating a little bit, aren't I? I'm exaggerating, but where do your thoughts go when you wake up, right? What do you think of when you wake up? You see, every single day, 10,000 messages go through our brain. They come from other people, other sources like media and things you consume, or majority of them actually are from yourself. See, our brain filters what our lives go through. Can I nerd out with you for a second? Can I go Rahul Nye, the science guy, real quick? Okay, listen, I love studying about the mind. And there's this, scientists believe that there's 100 billion nerves in your brain that are called neurons. And these neurons work together. They've been working together since you were born. And the more you do something, the better you become at it, and a pathway is created. For example, learning to walk, learning to drive, ride a bike, learning an instrument, a sport, listening to a song, all those things really lead up to the statement that is true, which is practice makes perfect. You see, these things work together so that as you grow up, you can do them better and better. But they also create ruts in your brain, ruts that are harder and harder to change every single day. And so these neurons, though, here's the cool part. They have a name. They're called neural pathways. This is the scientific name. These are neural pathways. And basically what scientists believe, the more you think about something and the more you do something, the more it actually happens. The more it becomes true and the easier and easier it becomes. Oh, for example, it's the reason you drive somewhere but don't know how you got there, right? So the other day, I was coming here to work. I left at the same time I always leave, took the same path I always leave, and ended up at work. And as I was about to get out of the car, something sniffed my ear. And I'm like, whoa, what was that? It was my dog. I'm like, Chandler, how did you get in my car? Oh, I was supposed to take her to the groomer on the way to work. But my neural pathway kicked in and just got me to work without even thinking. So I had to turn around and take her back. But that's what happens, right? It's the same reason you leave the house and you go, did I turn off the stove? Did I lock the front door? And 9 times out of 10, you did. You just didn't have to think about it because your pathway kicked in and caused you to do it without even worrying about it. This is the reason brands target college students. See, advertisers and brands know about this term, neural pathways. And when I used to work at the University of South Florida, they would be constantly on campus trying to target college students because they realized in college is when your brain was forming the most. And if they could capture you and get you to buy into their brand, you will become a lifelong customer. So one day when I was on campus, Colgate was there. And I was like, Colgate for college students? And what do you think they were giving out? No, not toothpaste. You would think toothpaste, right? But think about it. Giving toothpaste to a college student is like a trick-or-treating going to a dentist's house and getting a toothbrush. Woohoo, lame, right? So what they were giving out was pizza and Starbucks gift cards. Now you're like, oh, that's logical, right? Because that means they would have to go brush their teeth to not sit. No, they weren't thinking like that. That's not how college students think. What they were doing was creating a positive association. They were desiring for these college students to think of their brand as fun, because what do college students love? Free food, free coffee. And so that every time they would go to the store, they would walk in and look at all the brands, and they would go, Colgate. I don't know why, but I like them. It makes me feel good. And they would pick it. That's what happens to us every single day, right? Here's what's even crazier, is as you do this repeatedly, it doesn't become just an action. It actually becomes your identity. So when college students would go to the store to buy toothpaste or go on Amazon or wherever, they wouldn't go, oh, I think I need to go buy Colgate. No, they would say, oh, I always buy Colgate. I am a Colgate user. It is who I am. This is why it's so hard for me to not buy a Toyota whenever I go to look for a car. We always grew up buying Toyotas. And now I drive a Nissan and a Chrysler, and they're great cars, but every time I sit in it, I cringe a little bit. I know, it's weird, right? My kids are probably tired of me, but I mourn the death of my Toyota 4Runner. It died like so many years ago, but every day I'm like, oh, I miss my 4Runner. And they're like, Raul, chill out. Well, they don't call me Raul, they call me Dad. They're like, Dad, chill out. So if you have a 4Runner you want to get rid of, I'll love to talk to you. But that's what happens, is these pathways become deep-seated beliefs. It becomes core to who you are. And when that happens, you start living that out. You start thinking and then behaving, which is why this statement is so true. Behaviors are driven by beliefs. You might be asking yourself, you might say one day, did I just say that? Or pull a Steve Urkel and say, did I just do that? Right? And you're like, where did that come from? But it's because you have a deep-seated belief. It's core to your identity of who you are. And the more you do it, the more you focus on it, the more you live that out. And that's what neural pathways are. And the more you think about it, the more you do it, your thoughts cause you to live the life maybe you want to live or maybe you don't. Craig Rochelle, he's a pastor out in Oklahoma. I've talked about him before. He puts it this way. He says, your life moves in the direction of your strongest thoughts. What you think about is what you do. And it's based on what you actually don't think about. It's a pathway that your brain has created because you've done it over and over and over. See, here's the cool part, is so many times we think we can't change. We see a statement like this, and even science has said that an old dog can't learn new tricks, that we are stuck in this fixed mindset. But I want to give you some encouraging news. In 1998, which is just 24 years ago, researchers found out something new, something so recent that you no longer have to live in a fixed mindset, that every day you wake up with little new brain cells that are ready to be shaped and deformed. The reason that is encouraging is you aren't stuck in your ways. You might think you are, you might feel you are, but no matter how old you are, you're developing new brain cells every single day to create new pathways so you can have a growth mindset. There's this neurologist, her name is Dr. Caroline Leaf. She puts it this way. She says this. Just kidding, Craig Rochelle says this. Oh, there it is, thank you. Your body is not in control of your mind. Your mind is in control of your body. And your mind is stronger than your body. Mind certainly is over matter. See, what she's saying is you don't just do things randomly. You don't choose to do things. They actually come from a deeper source. They come from your mind. They come from your beliefs. They come from the core of who you are. And you are able to change that. And science is saying that now, and we just recently found that out. You know what's even cooler? This isn't new information. See, this isn't a religious thing, right? It's a thing. It's a human thing. But almost 2,000 years ago, the same thing was said multiple times in our Bibles, in our scriptures. And this is why I believe science and faith don't need to be separate. They can actually coexist. See, science is essentially finding what God has done and set into motion and just believing it. Science is researching how the universe was created and how our bodies were created and just applying it to our lives. That we already know that faith has told us, that so many things have been told us. And I love how God has made us so intricate, even so much so that our minds can grow no matter how old we are. So the way we're going to do that is we're going to look at what the Apostle Paul said. There's one specific instance he talks about this. And we talk a lot about Paul here, and he talks about this growth mindset in his letter to the church at Rome. And in this letter, he's explaining, listen, you are stuck in your ways. You have got to change, yo. Like, stop believing that God is only for the Jews. He is also for the Gentiles. And what's a Gentile? Anyone who's not a Jew. Anyone not of Jewish descent, which is a majority of us in this room. And so what he's saying is, you've got to stop having this fixed mindset and how to have a growth mindset. So he sets up this argument and then gives us the step we need to take, the third step for how to win at life. So here's what he does. He starts with this. He says, therefore, I urge you. Now, what do we learn week one? If there's a therefore, you've got to find out what it's there for. Otherwise, you're taking the verse out of context. And the therefore is there because of what I just explained. He's saying God is not for just the Jews. He's for everyone. So in light of that, he says, I urge you. I plead with you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. Now, what's mercy? Mercy is not getting what we deserve. What do we deserve? Well, because of our sin in our own minds and how we can be stuck in a fixed mindset, we don't deserve a relationship with God for all of eternity. But because God is so merciful, Paul is saying, you've got to focus on that he sent Jesus to die, not just for the Jews, but for everyone, including us in this room. And when he came back to life, he proved who he was so that we can have a relationship with our Heavenly Father, that he is so merciful in that way. So in light of that, he says, do this. He says, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. At that moment, everyone in Rome who read this letter was like, nope, I'm out, peace. Sacrifices? Are you kidding me? That's nasty, it smells, it's disgusting. You're telling me I still have to sacrifice animals to atone for my sins, to ask God to forgive my sins? Paul's like, hold on, no, that's not what I'm saying. He used the word living sacrifice. He's saying, be a living sacrifice because Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice. You don't have to do that anymore. Now, center your life around Jesus, and that is holy and pleasing to God. That is your true and proper worship. That is your natural response to God's mercy. So that's the argument. And then now he's going to give us the next step. And the step says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Now, this is an interesting statement, conform. That word means don't copy this world. Don't be like a liquid. What does a liquid do? A liquid adapts to the shape it's put in. For example, a honey bear, right? Don't you love honey bears? They're the best. Honey bears have honey in them, but they don't look like honey when they come out. When you pour out honey all over pancakes, I just had a moment. I can't wait. Okay. I just pour honey all over it. It just goes everywhere. But that's what a liquid does. It adapts to whatever it's poured onto. He's saying, don't conform. Don't copy the pattern of this world. God made you unique. See, conforming is reactive. Conforming is passive. Conforming is giving into. It's not intentional. That's not what he designed our brains to do. He didn't come to make us robots. He came with to give us a choice. And he says, don't conform, because when you do, what happens? Well, you live like everybody else. How does everyone else live like? They believe the lies that they're told. They believe those thoughts that we tell ourselves over and over and over. And you know what happens? We get jealous, we get envious, and we start comparing ourselves to every single person, right? And so for us, do we want to live like that? No, we don't. Because when that happens, we start trying to feed that. We try to respond, and that's when we try and find a better car. We try and work more to make more money, to buy more stuff. We try and get a better job just to keep up. We try and find that house that's better. You know, the one, the Chip and Joanna one that's white with black trim. I want one of those so bad. I'm in therapy right now. But that's what we do. We conform, and that allows the thief to steal, kill, and destroy us, right? So he says, instead, don't do that. Instead, be transformed. We're all being formed to something every day. Do you want to conform or transform? See, transform is active. Transform is intentional. Transforming is not allowing the enemy to take our thoughts to a place that we don't want to go. What kind of thoughts? Thoughts that are life debilitating, not life giving. Thoughts that cause us to feel like we're losing at life, not feel like we're winning at life. Thoughts that steal our peace, right? That's where anxiety and worry come from. Thoughts that kill our identity, that makes us think we're horrible people, we're terrible, we can't do anything right. Thoughts that destroy our relationships. See, when you give into these thoughts, you start pushing people away instead of bringing them closer, which is what we should do. We start saying, when someone gives us feedback, we say, I don't need that feedback. I already know I'm a terrible person, so I'm just going to push you away. I don't need you in my life. Instead of listening to what they have to say as they're trying to help you. So transforming is actually a way to take action so that does not happen to you. So how do we transform our minds? We renew them. We renew our minds. We take information. We take new information. And we replace those neurons, those little brain cells that are born every day, and we give them new information, not what's been in our neural pathways, not what's caused us to believe, what we've been believing that's caused us to be stuck and enslaved in those lies. And that's what renewing your mind is. It's just giving your mind new information. Do you see how Paul would probably be telling scientists today, I told you so, right? Because he says this next. He says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. His life-giving statements he says about you, the creator who made you, that lets you feel like you're winning at life. Now, what do we test for? We don't test for lies, do we? We're not people who test for lies. We test for the truth. And see, the reason God's will is truth and good and pleasing and perfect is because when Jesus came, he told us, I will teach you the truth, and the truth will do what? Set you free. Isn't that what we want? Here's amazing. This is why Jesus had to come as a rabbi. He had to come as a teacher. He could have came as a dictator and said, you will believe me, you will follow me, you will do everything I say. But he didn't. He came as a teacher to help us test and approve what's a truth over us, not a lie. Because what do teachers do? Teachers are so important because they help us develop new neural pathways with the truth. They help us show us what reality needs to be, not what we think it is. And that's why teachers are so important. And that's why Jesus had to come as a teacher. So that's what Paul says. He says, don't conform. He says, transform. He says, renew your mind so you can test and improve what the truth is. And the truth will set you free. And that is so empowering. But too many times, we still don't do that. We still live into the lies, we give into the lies of what we tell ourselves. Lies like, I'm not good enough, I'm not strong enough, I'm not pretty enough, I'll never be loved, I'm unworthy. And those things enslave us, don't they? Those things enslave us, and we end up doing what's called a self-fulfilling prophecy. That we tell ourselves a lie so much that it's what we do, and we can't get ourselves out. For example, maybe you tell yourself, I'll never have what it takes. And the more you tell yourself, the more you'll never have what it takes, right? Because it becomes core to who you are, and you believe the lie. Or maybe you say, I'm unworthy of love, and you can never be loved. And so because of that, you start looking at other people, and you start doing things that are demeaning and disrespectful in order to get attention because of something you believe over and over. It makes me think of the man who was berated by his father growing up, and now he's only as good as the work he produces. It makes me think about the teenage girl who compares herself to Instagram, and she thinks, I am ugly and not worthy of love. It's the excited child growing up who was always told to be quiet and to calm down. Now, every time he gets excited, he feels shame, and he can't get past that lie. It's the entrepreneur who was cheated out by his business partner, but now believes he'll never be successful. It's the middle-aged woman who was raised by a perfectionist, angry mom, and now she believes she can never have peace if she's not perfect. Do you see how that seeps into your mind and what that does to you? And see, the more you think about it, that's how you act. That's how you behave. And then you feel like you can never get out because the lies you believe, they shape the life you live. The lies you believe shape the life you live. What you tell yourself over and over determines your course of action. So what do we do about that? What should we do about that? Well, we can't just stop thinking about the lies. Have you tried stopping to think about something? What happens? You think about it more, right? For example, don't think about this cute little puppy. What are you thinking about? A cute little puppy, right? You just can't, it's too hard. You can't do that. Instead, what we need to do is we need to replace the lies with the truth. And so week one, we talked about the words of Jesus is what to build your life on. And then last week, we talked about to know the words of Jesus, you've got to begin a spiritual discipline. You've got to spend time with Jesus. So we're going to take those 2 weeks, see how they build on each other. And then now that we know the words of Jesus, we're going to live them out. We're going to apply them to the truths. We're going to replace the lies. And how are we going to do that? Well, here's step three to a beginner's guide to winning at life. Believe a sacred truth. Believe a sacred truth. Well, what's a sacred truth? Well, right now there's this trend, it's actually really helpful. It's called positive affirmations. It's things you tell yourself over and over to make yourself feel better so you can overcome things in your life. Here's the thing. Here's the problem with that. Those are truths we've made up and other humans have made up. Those are things that are just recent. What I propose is a sacred truth. Truths about what God says about you. Because of Jesus, you have a relationship with your Heavenly Father if you choose to follow him. And because of Jesus, you can believe these sacred truths. And these sacred truths, the more you tell yourself them, the more they're going to replace the lies. So here's what you're going to do. This week, you're going to take an inventory of lies you tell yourself. On your phone, anytime a lie pops up or creeps up, you're going to write it down on your phone. And then at the end of the week, you're going to look at all the lies. Lies like, I'm not a good enough mom. She brought homemade treats. I brought store-bought treats. Hashtag I suck, right? Like, you're like, I'm never going to be able to get along with somebody in my family or a coworker. I'm always going to struggle with my weight. I'm unworthy. I'm unlovable. I'm an average student. I'll never get in that school. Whatever those lies are, look for what ones that repeat themselves and mark that down. Here's the problem with that. If it's a neural pathway, you won't recognize it's a lie. So here's another tip to help you with that. Find people who are close to you and ask them, what are some things I tell myself over and over? Or what are some things I say that you're like, that's not you. And then write those down so then you know the lies. Once you identify the lies, then we've got to replace them with truths. Because you can't just pull out a lie. You can't just stop believing a lie, right? It's kind of like this grass issue I'm having. I've got this patch of crabgrass on my lawn. And in it, I learned that to get rid of crabgrass, you've got to like dig it out. So I dug it out. And then I didn't fill the hole. So what happened next season? The crabgrass that was around it filled the hole for me because there were seeds there. I was like, great, that was lame. So instead, I dug it out this season, filled it with good soil and grass seed, and I've watered it. And what's happening now? Crabgrass is still there. But there's grass, there's a little bit of grass. And next season, there'll be more grass and less crabgrass. Do you see where I'm going? The more you spend time with it, the more you replace the lies with truths, the more you'll start believing them. How do you do that? Well, one of the best ways to get these sacred truths into you is to memorize scripture. So for me, whenever I'm struggling with temptation or the enemy's telling me or the thief is telling me you'll give into the temptation, I say, nope. You know what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:13 lie? He says, no temptation has seized you except for what is common to man, but God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will provide a way for you to stand up under it. So that's what we do. And all of you are like, whoa, that was a lot of words. That was advanced. We're in the beginner's guide, right? So let me give you a beginner's guide to doing this. What we're going to do is we're going to take these sacred truths. We're going to take scripture. We're going to shape them and form them into statements. We're going to craft statements that'll help you so that when a lie pops up, you'll go, nope, that's not right. I'm going to say the sacred truth. For me, I try and do this every single day. I try and remind myself the lies aren't dictate my identity. Only Jesus does. Because of Jesus, I can say these truths. So I want to read them to you. Here's what I say. Be yourself, because I like to compare myself to a lot of people. God didn't make you to be a copy of anyone else. Make the decision, because I am indecisive a lot. God allows me to renew my mind to make the choice. I didn't choose this. God called me. Because Jesus said to go and make disciples, I develop leaders. It's not something I do. It's who I am. God has given me a specific purpose to do his will with meaning every day of my life. Pain is my friend. I rejoice in suffering because Christ suffered for me. I am God's masterpiece, created to do the good works he planned for me through Jesus. God is for me, not against me. I love people and believe the best about others because they are created by God. I am disciplined. Christ in me is stronger than the wrong desires in me. And this last one I say all the time. I am creative, innovative, driven, focused, and blessed beyond measure because the Holy Spirit dwells within me. Those are the things to replace all those lies. See, that's a lot of statements, but they all hit a lie that I believe. So for you, believe a sacred truth, craft a statement. And you know what? The team here, we've come up with some statements for you to start with to help you. And because of Jesus, you can say these things every single day. So because of Jesus, here's what we want you to say. I am loved. We're told by Jesus that for God so loved you, for God so loved Rahul, that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. So tell yourself, I am loved. Then say, I am confident. I have everything I need to accomplish everything God wants me to accomplish because he has given me the power to do it. He has called me to do this. Then say, I am chosen is the next one, which God chose you. You have value. You have worth. You are still on this planet, so you still have a purpose for God to use you. And then the last one, I am enough. Fill in the blank. I'm smart enough, strong enough, capable enough, pretty enough. Whatever it is you need to fill it in. You know why? You're a new creation. You are not your past. Your past does not dictate your future. You're a new person who God says you are. You are forgiven. You are free. You are redeemed. You are not going to live in a victim mindset anymore. You're going to live in a transformation mindset because you're going to renew your mind every single day. So to help you, we want to put this in a place that's always going to be forefront for you. And where do we always look? On our phones. So we've created lock screens for you. And if you want those lock screens, there's a different variety of them. You can text this number and you'll text truths with an S. Make sure you put the S on it. Truths to 9400. 0. And that'll give you some links to download those lock screens to help you. And the more you do this, the more you focus on these truths, what's going to happen? You're not going to feel like you're winning at life. You're going to know you are winning at life. You will no longer be enslaved by the lies. You will be empowered. And when you're empowered, what happens is you demolish the strongholds that are holding you down right now. What are those strongholds? Here's what Paul talks about. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. You know what a stronghold is? It's a prisoner locked by deception. Reminds me of one of my boys. When they were younger, we had to run to the room because they were freaking out. And they're like, I can't get out. I'm locked in. I'm scared. And we're like, we went to unlock the door, only to realize the lock was not on the outside. It was on the inside. So he said, hey, just turn that little knob and you can get out. And he did. He was deceived. He was in a stronghold. He was deceived by the lies, by a lie. And that's what happens to us. These lies, they hold us back, don't they? And that's what a stronghold is. So Paul says, do this instead. We demolish arguments, all those lies, and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, who God says we are. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We take those critical thoughts, we tell them to sit down and to shut up, because that is not who I am. You have no power over me. You are not my master. You are not my boss. Jesus is. And I have built my life on a solid foundation. I have spent time with him. I know what his words are, and I will live them out. Get this. The more you do this, every day as you spend time doing this, one day you're going to go to that lie and immediately it's going to go, nope, I am chosen. I am enough. I am loved. I am worthy. You're going to replace that lie with the truth faster than listening to that lie. And that takes a daily renewing of your mind that Paul told us about. And see, the more you do that, the less you'll start believing that the lies you believe shape the life you live. And instead, you'll start believing this. The truths you believe shape the life you live. And you'll be empowered and not enslaved. So here's how we're going to do this. We're going to, step one, build a solid foundation. Step two, we're going to begin a spiritual discipline. And then finally, we're going to believe a sacred truth. And when you do those things, you won't just feel like you're winning at life. You will know you're winning at life. So when the storms of life come, you're ready. You've got this. You can have joy and hope, and no longer, your peace will no longer be stolen. Your identity will be confirmed of who you are in Jesus, and your relationships will grow stronger and stronger and closer and closer together. So do this. Believe a sacred truth. Let's pray. God, you're amazing that you would allow us to choose to follow you, that you would allow us to choose to not believe lies, but to give us a way out, and that's believe a sacred truth. Thank you for giving us scripture that reminds us that you know the hairs on our head. You know our lives. You know us even better than we know ourselves. And so help us replace lies with the truth. And that's all because of Jesus, of what Jesus did for us. We're so grateful for him, and we're so thankful that you love us enough to do that. You're amazing. And it's Jesus' name I pray. Amen.